As they were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Praise to you." But they were startled and frightened and thought they saw a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still disbelieved for joy and were marveling, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it before them. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened his opened their minds to understand the scripture, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." And he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifted up his hands, he blessed them. While he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple praising God. These are our God's words.
Come on, speak up. Philippians. And what was the main message of Philippians? What was that? Rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Question for you. What are you rejoicing over now? Speak to me.
He is risen.
He is risen. A good reason for rejoicing. What else?
Love, family, love.
Love, life, family, good. Anything else you're rejoicing over? He's with us every day. No face masks. I knew that one would come up. That is a great reason. No more fogged up glasses. No more breathing your own carbon monoxide. It's good. So, are we rejoicing? Nice to hear. Easter. Jesus died on a cross. 3 days later, he rose from the dead. He was seen by Mary. He was seen by Simon. And he was seen by two guys who met him on the road to Emmaus. Now, last week, Ben reminded us that they went with joy to tell the disciples that they had met with Jesus and that he had opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And they had run about 11 kilometres back to Jerusalem to tell the disciples about what had happened to them. Then Jesus appears to all the apostles and more all at once. But what's happening? Even though Jesus has appeared to people, they've been told about it, he now appears to the apostles and many others, but what is happening? Anybody know? They're struggling to believe. They are still struggling to believe that this Jesus who died on the cross has risen from the dead. What about us? Are we still struggling to believe? Do we still struggle to accept the fact that Jesus died on the cross for me, for you, for our sinfulness? Are we still struggling to accept the fact that he rose from the dead, that he's alive even now? Is it something we believe or just something we've heard often and don't really know if it's true or not? We've all heard it. We may have even seen change in people around us. But do we still struggle to believe? So I ask the question, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Do we believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died in our place, took upon himself the punishment for our sins, that he rose from the dead, and even now intercedes on our behalf before the throne of God? Pray with me. Father, as we come to your word this morning, I do pray that your Spirit would speak to each one of us. I pray, Father, you'd forgive me for my sins. Forgive me for those distractions which have occurred this week. Help me to focus now upon your word, and I pray that your Spirit would speak through me, that the words I say would be the words you want us to hear this morning. I do thank you for your Spirit's guidance. I thank you that we are free to proclaim your word in this country. I thank you that you have brought us all to this place this morning. And now speak to us through your word, I pray, Father. I do it in Jesus' name. Amen. We always struggle to believe something until we see it ourselves. Do you believe that? Have you ever struggled to believe something because you have not seen it? A couple of years ago, somebody took one of my cars for a drive. It was a four-wheel drive car. About 10 minutes after it was taken, I got a phone call. I've had an accident. I ran into the curb. The car won't go. I thought, that's ridiculous. He's driving a four-wheel drive. He's run into a curb. How could a car not go just from riding into a curb? It is a big, heavy car. The car was about a 10-minute walk away from home, so I took a walk up to see what was going on. When I got there, there was the car against the curb, sitting on three wheels. There's meant to be four. One wheel had been taken off the car, totally. This was a four-wheel drive, which had driven into the curb in a 60-kilometre zone, and ripped the wheel off it. I did not believe that could happen until I saw it. I could not believe that a car in a 60k zone, four-wheel drive, driven into the curb would be undrivable. But it was. Once I saw it, I believed. We feel we need to see something, don't we, to believe it. And yet we have before us an issue of Jesus appearing to people, and they still did not believe. I'm going to start going through each verse here. Won't take us long. Verse 36, Jesus says, while they were still talking about this, what were they talking about? They were talking about Jesus' appearance to Mary, to Simon, to the two guys on the road to Emmaus. They were talking about these things. And Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, peace be with you. I wonder what these guys were talking about. You know, they're talking about Jesus' appearance to people. Were they saying, oh, I don't believe it. I won't believe it until I see it. You're dreaming. The guys on the road to Emmaus must be picking up mushrooms on their way. They may have been saying things like, well, he did raise people from the dead. Why couldn't he raise himself? They may be also saying, well, look, Jesus raised the dead. But who would raise Jesus? He did say that he'd rise on the third day. But is this really happening? Can we believe that? What does it mean if it is alive? Does that have any impact on us? What if he's not alive? Does that impact on us at all? These are some of the things they may have been talking about as they discussed the appearance of Jesus. But suddenly, there he is amongst them. He didn't walk through a door. He didn't walk through a wall that we're told of. He appeared amongst them. And what does he say? He says, "Peace be with you." Were they in the middle of a war? They were in a house. They weren't in any sort of battle. I mean, why is he saying, "Peace be with you"? There have been many people who have tried to explain that passage. I'm going to share you what I think it means. You may disagree with me, you may agree with me, but this is what I think it means. What is real peace? You are allowed to interact with me. Sorry? Peace? Thank you, Daryl. The peace of God. How do we achieve peace with God or peace of God? Is it something we can do? No, it's not. It is not something we can do. The only way we can be at peace with God is to know that our sins are forgiven. Because our sin separates us from God. It's our sin which turns God's love into God's wrath. And as sinners, we deserve God's wrath. You may not like that, but that's the truth. So when Jesus comes and says, "Peace be with you," what is he offering? He is offering himself. And he is offering a way back to God. He is saying, "My death and my resurrection has opened the way for you to be back into God's grace and mercy and peace and fellowship." If we trust Jesus as the one who's paid the price for our sins, if we acknowledge him as our Saviour and our Lord, then we are restored in our relationship with God the Father, and we are then at peace. So when Jesus says, "Peace be with you," I believe he's saying a lot more than just "be happy." He's explaining that we can be restored in our relationship with God. Verses 37 to 39, it says, "They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost." Who says ghosts don't exist? He said, "Did doubts rise in your mind?" He said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." Don't know if any of you watch Netflix, but there's a series on Netflix called Julie and the Phantoms. Does anybody know Julie and the Phantoms? It's only me. Julie is a young singer, and 20 years prior to her taking up singing, there was a band of young men who were on the beginning of their career, and they were going to go a long way, except they ate some dodgy food one night and died. So watch the dodgy food, all right? Could kill you. And these three guys died. 20 years later, this young girl starts singing. And she's singing in her garage one night, And suddenly, these three guys appear with their guitars and drums and join her in the singing. She is shocked. Horror, what is happening? It seems when she sings, these guys appear. And she does singing again in front of a crowd. And as she begins singing, these three guys appear again, materialize out of nowhere, and the whole crowd is shocked and amazed and stands back. What is happening? They can't explain why these guys are appearing. This is what's happened with Jesus. He has appeared in the midst of his disciples suddenly. Can you imagine what their feelings are? He says, hey, don't worry. I'm not a ghost. I'm real. Touch me. See, I'm made of flesh and bones. I'm alive and well. They're still doubting, though. They're still afraid. They can't understand what is happening. Now, we can't see or touch Jesus, can we? Can we? No, we can't. Is there any way we can see just a shadow of Jesus or a reflection of Jesus? Is there? Seen through a dark glass. See, how can we see more clearly, yo? Do you reflect Jesus? Thank you. We are the way the world now sees Jesus. If you are a follower of Christ, you are reflecting his love, his care, his joy, his humor, his servanthood. You and I are now the way the world sees Jesus. Verses 40 to 43, we read these. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, do you have anything here to eat? They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Jesus has appeared to them. He's been in their midst. He spoke to them. He said, touch me, see, I've got flesh and bones. And yet they still did not believe. But he says there in 41, and while they still don't believe it, because of joy and amazement. That seems to me to be contradictory. They didn't believe because of joy and amazement. How can joy and amazement make you not believe something? Little illustration again. Shirley and I used to live in Maroochydore, and back in the 80s, we would regularly get visits from Shirley's sister and her husband and their three girls. Now, Shirley's sister and husband were Salvation Army officers based in Sydney, and they would come up and visit us with their caravan. One year, after a particularly hard year that they'd had, they said, we can't make it this year. We are not going to be able to see you. Shirley was a bit sad about that because she enjoyed seeing her sister, and our boys enjoyed playing with their cousins, who were girls. It happens sometimes. We were sitting down to lunch one Saturday, and there was a knock at the door. Shirley went and answered the door, and I heard screams and yells and joyous noises. It was her sister. They had decided to make the trip after all, and Shirley's words to Margaret were, I can't believe you are here. I can't believe you are here. She was full of joy and excitement, but she says, I can't believe you are here. I wasn't expecting you. You said you weren't going to be here. I can't believe you are, even though you're standing right in front of me. And I believe this is something which the disciples are experiencing with Jesus. They can't believe that he's really there, even though they're full of joy and amazement at his presence. And just to prove he is real, what does he do? Eat some fish. Do you think he was hungry? No, I think he was just trying to prove a point. I am real. I am in a resurrected body which is real. He moves on to verse 44 and following. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you." Weren't you listening? "Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. Jesus' words here, "I told you, didn't I? Weren't you listening? I told you I would die and I would rise again on the third day. Were you not listening? How many times do I have to tell you before you will believe these things? How many times do we have to be told about the gospel before we believe?" He opened their minds to the scriptures. Why? Why would he open their minds? Why were their minds closed? When we read the word, do we ask God to give us understanding, or do we just read it like a book? It is the word of God. To understand the word of God, we need the Spirit of God to open our minds to the truth within it. Do we believe yet? Do we believe what we read? Do we struggle with the hard passage? I've just come through Judges. It's a hard book to grasp, but it's God's word. Do we ask God to give us understanding of his word? We need to be found in God's word regularly with our minds opened. And they can only be opened by the Spirit of God. This is how he teaches us. One of the ways he teaches us. 46 to 49 we read, he told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high." The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations. How do we become friends with God? How do we receive the peace of God? By repentance and forgiveness. We need firstly to acknowledge that we are sinners. You may think you're a good person, but you're not. I'm sorry. In God's eyes, you're a sinner. The only way of redemption is being forgiven of those sins, and the only way you can be forgiven of those sins is to acknowledge that Jesus died for you and for me. Turn from your sinful ways and acknowledge Jesus as your Saviour and Lord, and seek to walk in his ways. And but to walk in his ways, you need to know what his ways are, and the ways are found in the Word of God. And you need the Spirit of God to open your minds to the truth within the Word. The apostles finally believe that Jesus is alive because they see him. They can now be used by God to share this good news with others. But they're told to wait for God's power to come upon them. Now, we can't wait to see Jesus to believe. Because friends, I tell you, the next time we see Jesus, it'll be too late to believe. The next time we see Jesus, he'll be bringing in the fulfillment of the kingdom. Now is the time to believe. Not tomorrow, not the next day, not when you got your act together. Now is the time to believe. We have all the evidence we need. Jesus has taught us all that we need. He spent 40 days with the disciples after his resurrection. That's almost 6 weeks. I believe he was teaching. They were told in Acts chapter 1 that he opened the word of God to his disciples for those 40 days. So he didn't hide in a cave. He taught. We don't know exactly what, but I believe it was all about what the scriptures say about Jesus. But the disciples now believed because they saw him. But after 40 days, he ascended into heaven. We read in the following verses, 50 to 53. When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken into heaven. Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they stayed continually at the temple praising God. So Jesus has ascended. So what? Well, we know that without Jesus' resurrection, if Jesus did not rise from the dead, we have no hope. Without Jesus' ascension, we have nobody interceding on our behalf before God's throne of grace. We have no promise of a future in God's presence if Jesus did not ascend. So we're told here that Jesus did ascend. Now, the disciples were led out and blessed by Jesus. Now, Jesus wants to bless us too. We may not see the blessings as we would like to see them, but Jesus does bless us with his presence, with his guidance, by his Spirit. It's important to recognize that God's Spirit dwells within us. And it's also important to recognize that even though Jesus ascended to heaven, he will return. And as I said before, when he returns, it will be too late to say, "Now I believe." The time of salvation is now, right now. And what was the response of the disciples to Jesus ascending? Then they worshipped him. Another indication that Jesus is God, because only God can be worshipped. And the disciples worshipped Jesus and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, rejoicing in the Lord again. And they stayed continually at the temple praising God. Why were they praising God? Because it is finished. Salvation is complete for those who will believe. Our Redeemer lives and awaits his children. So, knowledge that Jesus is alive produces change. These disciples who were once unbelieving are now rejoicing and worshipping God daily in the temple with great joy. They've gone from being afraid and in hiding to being very joyful and very public. They were continually in the temple. We go back to the words in Philippians, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again, I say rejoice. Are we there yet? Have we come to that point of confession and belief? Or are we still doubting? Are we there yet? Have we accepted that the Christian life is one of continual growth? There is no point in this life when we can say we are perfect. We're not there yet. We will not be perfect until Jesus returns, and then we will be like him, because we will see him as he is and we'll be in his presence. We need to be always learning. We need to be being taught continually from the Word of God. And for this to happen, we need to ask God to open our minds to his Word. It is not just a book. It is the Word of God. And he wants us to know it, to believe it, and to follow it. God's Spirit is the one who gives us understanding of the Word. As I said before, we have not arrived at perfection there. We are not there yet, but when Jesus comes again, we will be. Now, there is a reason for rejoicing and praising our God. Let's pray.